This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. This is part two of my conversation with my friend Dave DiPaola. So if you didn't yet listen to part one, you'll probably want to listen to that first. We are discussing Super Bowl XIII, a Super Bowl many still consider to be one of the best ever.
He said it was the first time. He said it was the first time he almost hit a referee. Benny Barnes. Imagine that.
Yeah. That was a horrible call. Absolutely horrible.
That led to 7 points.
Sure did.
Right?
Because then they were able to continue. What'd you say? That was a 28-yard penalty. That's huge. That's a huge gain. 28 yards. And then they were able to continue their drive. And then that's when Franco Harris broke off that, I guess it was about a 20-yard run for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was the play where Charlie Waters ran into the referee. Yeah.
You said the referee stepped right in front of him. And he was just getting ready to go.
Yeah, Ray Pinney gets him after that. But Harris would have been out of the way if that referee wasn't there.
Yeah. Seemed like the referee stepped right in front of him.
I mean, you don't want to make excuses. You know, you want to just kind of tell things the way they are, way it is. But that was. A lot of stuff really went against him in that game, you know, between the crazy interference call. Everything turned around within a period of 3 or 4 minutes, whole game.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's no guarantee. I think it was Charlie Waters, right, that the ref stepped in front of.
Yes.
Now, there's no guarantee that he would have made the tackle, but he certainly would have at least had a shot.
Yes.
He would have had a shot to make the tackle. If the referee didn't stop, he was just getting ready to go in for the tackle, and the ref stepped in front of him.
That's so right.
It's just a lot of bad luck, And then, so that made it 28-17, and then that was immediately followed by the kickoff to Randy White.
With a bum cast on his hand.
And I still question, why was he on the special teams?
He always plays. He always played special teams right away. He's even on the extra point team. But not that game.
Not with a cast.
No. Not with a cast.
And I think it was on NFL Films. And I still question this. They made it sound like Jarella did that squib kick on purpose. But if you watch it, he slipped.
Exactly.
He slipped.
Exactly right. He did not do it on purpose. I was just going to mention that. Funny you brought that up.
Yeah, I think it was on NFL Films. They said it was a brilliant play by the Steelers, a squib kick to Randy White because they knew he had the cast.
Exactly. But it wasn't that at all.
He slipped.
It was horse manure.
No. He slipped. And just luckily for him, it went right to Randy White. And he tried to run with it, and he had that big cast on his arm.
He talked about that in the show that I sent you.
Yeah. He's still bothered by it.
He brought it up. He says, geez, you know, you always bring up the negative stuff. He goes, I always bring up that one about, you know, I just got a flashback to my running back days, he said, in high school. He goes, and it popped out before he could get control of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was that call. The Steeler radio call. There was a very famous call by those guys. Ball's loose, still on the ground. You recovered by Pittsburgh. That was a famous radio call on their radio broadcast there. And then, bam, right down the middle of the field, one play, right?
Yeah, and before you know it was 35-17. And that was Tony Dungy.
Yes.
Tony Dungy caused the fumble and recovered the fumble.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to play that much because they had so many good players. But he was always on the special teams, Tony Dungy.
Yeah, it was. I remember watching it, and I remember, you know, I don't remember specifically, but you remember how you felt. It was like kind of deflating.
Oh, you know?
It was kind of deflating, you know, because the game was so close for so long, and then all of a sudden, it's not close at all. It's almost like it's a blowout.
Yeah. Just like that. It went from 21-17, and a minute later, it's 35-17.
In actual time, it was 2 touchdowns in 11 seconds.
Yeah.
That's what they said on the broadcast. 2 touchdowns in 11 seconds.
Yeah.
The play with Franco Harris, the pass to Swan, those two plays.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, let me tell you, though, he Bradshaw, like I keep saying it, he never gets enough credit. He made a lot of big plays on third down in his career.
Yeah, he had a big game. That was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first time in his career that he passed for over 300 yards.
Yes.
He never had over 300 yards.
328. Although, for some reason, I looked in 2 box scores, and it only gave him 291 for some reason. I don't understand that. But in another one, I looked at it, it said 328, and they mentioned it in the game that he went over 300 yards.
Yeah, so, I remember they mentioned that was the first time in his career.
So I don't know
why he went over 300.
Yeah, I don't know why they – I don't know why it had in 2 separate box scores, they had it at 291. I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure why, but it was over 300 yards. And he got – you know, look, we didn't talk about it, but early in the first quarter, it was after he got – it was – there was a play where he goes to the sidelines, and he's actually in so much pain. He's crying. He's got a towel over his head.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that.
Shoulder injury.
Exactly. It was a shoulder injury. And when he threw that pass to Stallworth, he came off the field. He had his head in the towel, and he was crying again. So when he threw that, he must have re-aggravated it. He must have been shot up with so much painkiller or Novocaine, whatever they shoot you with, that he didn't feel it for the rest of the game. But he must have been able to function and to get through that because I think one guy even said something to the camera guy to get him out of there. But he was very, very he was in a lot of pain, and he didn't miss a single play in that game. Got to give him a lot of credit for that.
I'm trying to remember what play it was that he injured that shoulder on.
I think
probably it took a big hit.
It could have been the one where the ball pops loose. Because when it goes over onto the sidelines, what Hegman and Henderson, they're giving him smelling salts after that. They're holding it up under his nose. And that's the first time you see him where he's actually in pain.
Yeah.
When Henderson Henderson was on top of him, and when he came down on him, his shoulder went into the ground.
Yeah, and he didn't have a good grip on the ball.
No.
So it was a fumble.
Nope.
Right? He was picking up the fumble. So he didn't have a good handle on the ball. And then immediately Henderson was on him. Yeah, I think you're right. That's the play that he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
And the announcers even mentioned, you know, is he going to be able to play?
He said about a sprained shoulder.
Right.
He suffered a sprained shoulder. Speaking of quarterbacks and asking if they announced, did you notice, was it the third or fourth quarter that Danny White was throwing the ball on the sideline? Danny White started warming up, and they brought it up.
I remember that.
Yeah, Merlin Olsen brings it up, and he goes, oh, look who's throwing the ball over there. And I says, geez, I forgot about that. But when I rewatched it, Danny White was tossing the ball around.
Oh, well, maybe Staubach had an injury too then.
Yep.
I don't remember.
He took a couple of big hits, Staubach, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In that game.
Yeah. Oh, both of them. Bradshaw and Staubach. All those quarterbacks back then, you know. In the 70s, in the 60s. Those guys were getting hammered.
But they came back, Mark, to their credit.
They sure did.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They came back the first they threw a touchdown to Dupree. They drove downfield. I forgot how long that took.
Didn't take long.
I know the second one, after the onside kick, that second one was 2 minutes and 1 second. But the one before that, I can't remember exactly. Was there 6 minutes left?
Hard to remember.
Sounds
about right.
I didn't jot it down. I think there was around 6 minutes left. So they took it. They actually took.
So maybe that one did take.
It took about 4 minutes off the clock, roughly. About that. But, I mean.
Then they had the onside kick.
Then they had the onside kick, and that was a perfect. Boy, you couldn't have planned that kick better.
Right.
It went right past Dungy.
Yeah.
Tony Dungy again. I think it went right past him. And Dennis Thurman picked it up on the bounce.
Yeah.
Right?
So then they made it 35-31. Then there was hardly any time.
2 minutes and 1 second. And then there was only 20-something seconds left.
Yeah, and they tried another onside kick.
Which was kind of weak. He kicked it straight right into the arms of Rocky Blyer. It wasn't even a good bounce to it or nothing. It was like a dribbler.
Yeah, and the first onside kick was perfect, like you said. And the second one was lousy.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. No, really. You were like, what the hell happened to that thing?
Yeah, he kicked it right to him.
You know?
To Rocky Blyer. Yeah.
But, I mean... I looked up the statistics after I watched the game, and surprisingly enough, and I never knew this, you know, the Bradshaw and Staubach were both 17 for 30.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Well, Bradshaw had about 100 more yards. Staubach only had about 230 yards passing, give or take a couple yards.
Back then, that was pretty good.
Not too bad.
Right. But
Bradshaw back had 328. Then.
Largely because of Stallworth, right?
Well, that one play was what, 72 yards, I think?
Might have been even 75, I think.
It could have been, yep.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah. Take that away. And that's another thing. Huh. The Cowboys had 9 penalties for 89 yards. Pittsburgh had, I forgot they had less. Oh, Pittsburgh had 7 for 46 yards. But you take away those... You take away those two calls, the Benny Barnes call, 28 yards.
Yeah.
And the 15-yarder on
Billy Pratt.
Yep. That's 43 yards. Take away that off of the 89. And
the
Cowboys ended up with less yardage for – they would have had the same amount of penalties, 7 each.
Right.
You hate to harp on it, but I'm telling you, those were two terrible calls.
Both of them were terrible, yeah.
That pass interference call, Mark, that really set everything in motion. After that happened, it all went downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they lost something there. After that interference call, they lost something. Yeah, and it just went downhill fast.
I don't know. It was a great game, though. I mean, the guys, the announcers were saying the greatest game they ever saw. You know, the greatest Super Bowl they ever saw. That's what they were saying, the announcers. You know?
Yeah. Well, it sure was exciting.
It was an exciting game. If you go to YouTube and pull up the telecast from the actual telecast of the whole game. I think it's 3 hours and something. And if you go down, look at the comments. Every comment is talking about how tremendous the game was and how there's so many Hall of Famers in it. And I've rewatched this game 10 times, and I don't think I've watched it more than three, four times myself. But, I mean, these people that are watching it, some of them are younger people. They're saying, oh, my father told me about this game. And every time I've watched this five or six times, it doesn't get any better than this. You know why? It was there was a lot of hard hitting, Mark. That game was a lot of hard hitting in that game.
Yeah. Both of those Super Bowls, Super Bowl 10 and 13, tremendous hitting.
Yeah.
Imagine how many penalties in today's game. Imagine how many of those would be called penalties.
I think this one was an except. I mean, this one was really, you know, this one I think was just a. I mean, the hits were vicious. Some of them.
Oh yeah.
I met Jackie Smith once at the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I met him, and I was looking at him, you know, and I'm just thinking he's got to be in his glory. He's going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a great weekend for him and everybody. Yeah, I always have to wonder what he thought. But he said not the guy that really had his, you know, life together. It probably bothered him for a bit, but I don't think the guy, you know, dwelled on it to the point where, you know, X amount of years later, he was still thinking about it. It was one play, and you've seen probably interviews with Staubach. He said, I kind of took something off the ball. I could have, you know what I mean? I could have zipped it in a little better. He kind of takes blame, but he said, you know, it just wasn't his fault only, you know?
Right. And that guy had such a tremendous career, Jackie Smith. That's probably the only ball he ever dropped in his career.
Yeah, he was. He really was.
He had retired. He had retired. And Landry, who got hurt? Jay Saldy, I think. Jay Saldy got hurt. So Jay Saldy was out for most of the season. And Landry called Jackie Smith. He said, I need a backup tight end. Do you want to play? And Jackie Smith said, well, I know, this might be my only chance to ever play in a Super Bowl. So he said, yeah, I'll play. And
you know
what happened? Turned into a nightmare for him.
He got in when Randy White got into the Hall of Fame. I went for that induction. And right. I remember Randy White saying to him, you know, Jackie Smith, it was a pleasure playing with you that year. He made it a point to bring him up. You know, which was really nice, you know, and what was it, 18 years he played, Mark?
Oh, yeah, he played a long time.
I think 18 or...
He had to be close to 40 years old in that Super Bowl. Yeah, I think he was at least 39 years old in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Was that his last? His last year, Mark, or no?
Yeah, yeah, he retired after that. Well, like I said, he retired, and the only reason he came back is because Tom Landry asked him to. And he said, you know, all those years with the Cardinals, I never had a chance to play in the Super Bowl, so this might be my only chance. He always had some of his biggest games against the Cowboys. You see that one play on NFL Films where he carried half the Cowboys defense.
Yes.
He scored a touchdown. He was knocking everybody over and carried half the team on his back.
Yep. He was a
great, great tight end.
Yeah, he was a great tight end before they became really popular for receiving, right?
Yeah.
Even though he was a good receiving tight end, it was before the tight end became like a popular, almost like a hybrid, you know, in between the guys were, you know, but he was a big guy, Jackie Smith.
Oh, he was very big, yeah. Him and John Mackey and Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Those were the three top guys, three top tight ends.
Funny how they picked up Ditka, the Cowboys, late in his career, too.
Yeah.
And he went and played the Super Bowl, only at least he won, you know?
That's right.
You know, because he brings that up in a lot of interviews, you know, Ditka.
Yeah.
He says that Tom Landry gave me a chance when I didn't even know if I could still play. He goes, right. he was willing to take a chance on me. He goes, and then he gave me a chance to coach.
Yeah.
He goes, when I didn't even know if I could coach.
Yeah.
So he brings that up a lot.
Thomas Henderson talked about, in that interview too, he talked about Ditka, Super Bowl 12, right? You remember?
Right.
He was, said he was on the special teams, and Ditka pulled him aside and said, Upchurch. And he said, yeah, what about Upchurch? Get him. Exactly. Take him out.
Exactly.
And he got penalized.
Yes.
He got penalized. And he said, I looked back at Ditka and he was running. Ditka was running away because he didn't want to get in trouble with Landry.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get yelled at by Landry. Yeah, he told Henderson, he pulled him aside and said, you need to get Upchurch. Take him out.
That's good. That's good stuff.
That's the way it was back then.
No, it was tremendous. But it was great to watch that game again. It was disappointing. You know, you watch it and you go, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. That's the way it goes. But the comments beneath, if you ever go on there, read those comments because they're really, really, really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a tremendous game, but disappointing, you know.
Yeah, they ended up on the short end of the stick again.
And then I thought they were going to play again the following season. It looked like they were going to play again, right? The following season, they got upset in the playoffs by the Rams.
Unbelievable.
And that was Staubach's last game.
Yeah, was that the Jack Youngblood game? The broken leg?
Yeah, I think it was, yep. He broke his leg in that game, yeah.
Was that a kind of a closing seconds game win for the Rams or no?
I'm trying to remember what the final.
That wasn't.
I think was it
that
was.
The Billy,
I think it
was that the Billy Waddy game?
It might have been. I think it was 21-19. I think you're right.
I think it was the Billy Waddy pass.
And there was still. I think there was still a couple minutes left after that. There was still a couple minutes, and that's when Staubach threw his final pass was to Herb Scott, I think, the offensive lineman.
Yeah, that was a very disappointing game.
Yeah, because that could have been, if they had beaten the Rams, they would have played the Buccaneers in the title game.
Yes.
And they would have beat the Buccaneers.
Yes.
They would have beat the Buccaneers, and you would have had another Pittsburgh and Dallas Super Bowl.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh, that was the year Pittsburgh, that was the Mike Renfro game.
That's right, against Houston.
Another call that went their way.
Yeah.
Right?
The replays clearly showed he had both feet in.
Yeah, that was
the referee said no. Nope.
That was the big. That's when talk of instant replay really started.
Yeah, you're right.
After that game, and you know, you brought it up earlier. That play with Benny Barnes. You talked about incidental contact. I didn't know this. I read about that play. It was an article. It was called "The Five Worst Calls in Dallas Sports History." Not Cowboys, but Dallas sports, Mavericks, baseball, right. Whatever. That obviously play was in there, and they said that led to the incidental contact rule, that play.
I believe it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I believe that. That was a terrible call.
No, it was a different – and then they ended up beating the Rams – that game was a little closer than people think, that 79 Super Bowl that Pittsburgh won.
Oh,
They didn't really pull away to the end. The Rams gave them a good game.
And that Rams team, that was that always kind of struck me. All the great teams that the Rams had, right? And they could never get to the Super Bowl. They always lost to Minnesota or Dallas. They would have like their regular season, they were like 12-2 almost every year, 12-2. And then they would always lose to either Minnesota or Dallas. And that year, they finally made it to the Super Bowl. They were 9-7 in the regular season.
Unbelievable. I remember that.
9-7.
I remember a kid calling me up. I ended up going to work that night. I ended up going up to the ice cream store. We didn't own it yet. I was just working there.
Right.
A friend of mine, actually his brother was really my friend, but he started hanging around the shop. He was a big Ram fan. He called me that night and gave me the business. I think I hung up on him. Might have been the only time I ever hung up on a guy. Boy, was I mad after that Billy Waddy game.
Yeah, that was a tough loss.
It really was.
Yep.
You know, Landry had a lot of tough losses, if you look back at his career.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys had a lot of brutal losses. The ice game, the game before that, the 66 championship game with Bob Hayes, shouldn't have been in that game there. The Super Bowl V was brutal.
Yep. You know? A lot of heartbreakers.
The catch was brutal.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of heartbreakers, yeah. They lost a lot of heartbreakers. I thought for sure they had that game won. The one against San Francisco.
I thought
they had that game won.
After the second Everson Walls pick.
Right.
They were driving down, and I thought for sure they were going to at least get a field goal out of that drive.
Yeah.
They ended up punting. They threw a Danny White was like fading back and he like throwing kind of a little. He put it out to Doug Donnelly, who kind of couldn't pull it in. And I remember when I watched the game, I remember saying, "What the hell is he throwing it to that guy for?" But my buddy ran a golf tournament here in Waterbury, and for some reason, I don't know why, this is a huge car dealership that he works for, a buddy of mine. And his contact man for this golf tournament, you're not going to believe it, was Doug Donnelly. So he gets him on the phone, and he calls me up with the guy on the other end. Donnelly's on the phone. Yeah. And I says to him, geez, I hate to bring this up, I says to you, but I says, it was a kid when it happened. It's still bothering me. I says, if you caught that ball, we were almost in field goal range at that point. We would have went another 10, and we would have definitely kicked the field goal. He goes, you know, I had a real bad shoulder that year. He goes, and I just couldn't quite haul it in, you know?
Yeah.
And he started laughing. He goes, what the hell are you bringing that thing up for? He goes, I said, I'm on the phone with you, I said. It's the perfect opportunity. So, he was pretty good about it. And then I spoke to him one more time after that. I didn't bring it up again. I was asking him how he got drafted, you know, what he thought about getting drafted by the Cubs. I think he played for Ohio State, Doug Donnelly.
Uh-huh.
I think so. And he was kind of like there was Golden Richards and then there was him. You know, like it was like easy to kind of mix them up. They were both white guys, both playing receiver, and like one right after the other. I think they both even had the same number. Wasn't Golden Richards 83?
83, yep. Number 83.
So was Donnelly.
Yeah.
That game would have been over. There would have been no catch. There would have been no drive like that.
Yeah.
But,
and then there was the Drew Pierce, Drew Pearson, who was that corralled him? He got him by the back of the jersey.
He pulled him down, you're right.
What was his name? I can't remember. Was it Dwight Hicks?
No, it was the other one.
Yeah.
Dwight Hicks, though, was in that backfield. It was Ronnie Lott, Dwight Hicks, and there was two other guys. And one of them was – he got pulled down by – just barely got him. And, you know, if you look at the next play when Danny White fumbles.
Right.
Go rewatch that. Danny White runs up to the referee. And he's telling him, my arm – he's making this with his mouth. My arm is going – the referee doesn't even pay any mind to it. Completely blows him off. So what he's doing is he's bringing up. Now, I don't know if that was the tuck rule back then, but Danny White is bringing it up.
Yeah.
He grabs the referee, actually touches him, and he turns him around, and he's making this motion. What's his name is going crazy, Vince Scully.
Right.
During the whole thing. But if you watch it again, Danny White runs up to him, puts his hand on the guy's shoulder, and he says, my arm was going, and the guy just completely brushes him off.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, you know.
I don't think there was a tuck rule back then.
Yeah, but he's still talking about something about his arm going forward. He was a smart guy. He was a smart guy, Danny White.
Oh, like, yeah.
He was a guy that would know about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
For some reason, he's bringing it up to the ref. So that was another disappointing game, Mark.
Drew Pearson was off for a touchdown.
Well, as Hank Stram said in the broadcast, if what's his name didn't grab it, would have been the bye-bye Blues. That's the way Hank Stram termed it.
I can't remember his name.
I'll get it.
The guy that grimped.
I'll get it eventually. My buddies are big 49er fans, the guys that come over on Sundays. Yeah. But, you know, it'll come to me.
Yeah.
I know Lawrence Pillars. I know Jim Stuckey, I think, hit Danny White, and I think it was Lawrence Pillars who recovered the fumble.
Uh-huh.
Or the other way around. They were both involved. Either Stuckey hit him in Pillars, or Pillars hit him and Stuckey recovered. One or the other. You know, but I got to be honest with you, that last drive where the 49ers went 89 yards, the Cowboys really got out-coached on that drive.
Yeah. Yeah. He was using those short passes.
He was
They were running the ball, too.
Exactly. They even ran a reverse on that drive.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some really good play calling.
Bill Walsh outsmarted him. He really did.
Yeah. Well, I think our, I don't know if this thing is telling me, I think this thing is telling me my time is up.
It's blinking or something?
It's doing something, yeah.
Okay, I'm seeing an hour and 4 minutes on my thing, so that it'd be about right if it was an hour, right?
I'm surprised we got that much, but
probably gives you a little leeway.
I'm glad it didn't turn off.
No, we recapped the thing and we got everything I think we wanted to talk about, and
Well, it was a good memories. Not for Cowboy fans, but it was still an exciting game.
It was good to talk about it. I mean, the Cowboys looked—they were great. The Steelers were great. That's what ended up happening. You can't win every game. My father used to say that to me. You can't win every week, you know.
And I think you mentioned in the last podcast we had, you mentioned that the only time there was a good Super Bowl was when it was Dallas and Pittsburgh.
Up till that point, and then Super Bowls continued to get lousy after that. One other thing, too, I forgot to mention, Mark. I forgot about this. The prior year when the Cowboys played Denver in the Super Bowl was the first night game ever. You know, this game went back to 4:15. This was a 4:15 start, and there's a chart you can look at. It gives all the Super Bowl times. It went up and down and up and down. It didn't complete. It didn't go full-time night until 1991. That was the first game. That was the first time at 6:15, 6:30, and it never went back. But in between Super Bowl 12 and whatever 91 was, I think it was Super Bowl 26.
Uh-huh.
So for the next 14 years, it went up and down.
Right.
Up and down. Sometimes at night, sometimes in the, you know. The earliest one ever was the Cowboys, Miami, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That game was
1 o'clock.
That was the earliest Super Bowl ever played. Because I looked at that chart the other night.
The earliest one ever played. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
I didn't know that.
I remember though, during the game, Super Bowl VI, they were saying that after the game, some crazy golf tournament. Like anybody's gonna hear about that, but I guess they did. But I mean, they said, you know, following the game, something golf on CBS. And so, that was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock that was going to come on.
Right.
But I looked at that chart and it went up and down like that. And I said, geez, I always thought that after Super Bowl 12, the games were played at night. I was way off. I was off by, like I said, 14 years.
Wow. I liked it a lot better when they started the games earlier.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being that, or I don't remember it being at 1 o'clock, but I do remember after that game was over that we had time to celebrate. Me and my brother were celebrating.
Right.
We had to go to school the next day. But now, today, by the time the game's over, you got to go to bed.
No, it's crazy. I'm wide awake because I work second shift.
Right.
But you're right about that. Right. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Most people, yeah, I liked it better when they started the games early.
It's not exciting, you know, it was like when we were younger. It was exciting. It was a lot. It meant a lot to you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Especially after the year before when they lost to the Colts. Oh. That was devastating. When you're only a little kid.
Did you see the interview I sent you with Lily? He brings that up, and he says, you know, something went on there, he says.
Yeah.
And Randy White asks him, and he goes, oh, you think that was somebody? And he goes, yeah. He goes, that was right in broad view of everybody, he said.
Yep.
Dave Manders recovered the fumble.
Yeah.
And they said, no, he got up ball.
He got up with the ball and handed it to the ref. He came out of the pile with the ball and handed it to the ref. And they said, Colts ball.
And if I'm not mistaken, it would have been 20-6 if they scored. That game would have been over.
With the extra point, it would have been 20-6. It was over, yeah? The Cowboys, the way their defense was playing.
Yeah, they weren't going to. The Colts wouldn't have caught them. No way.
No. That game was over.
That was a very bad, bad loss for the Cowboys. That was a. People say, you know, why did he play Craig Morton in that game? And, you know, Staubach had to kind of not come into his own yet.
Well, he also expected the running game to dominate as it had all season. Their running game had dominated all season. And in that game, the Colts shut down their running game.
They did.
Dwayne Thomas only had something like 38 yards rushing.
Yeah. And
if you look at those two playoff games, the game against the Lions, he had well over 100 yards. The game against the 49ers, he had well over 100 yards. And the Colts shut them down.
Yeah, they had a pretty good defense. But the Cowboys were much more dynamic on offense. They should have beat the Colts handily. Like Staubach says in interviews, we were a much better team than the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's it,
Mark.
Okay, well, we'll figure out what we'll do for the next one.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.